Live. So, hallelujah. God loves us all. He loves each and every one of us. Man, life has been busy lately. It's hard. I mean, you can't find time to spend with God, so you just have to spend time with God all day long. Because, you know, you just like, it would be nice to just be able to sit at home all day and spend time with God. I don't know. Actually, I probably wouldn't do it. I'd goof off. I'd waste my time. But I guess if I had the whole day, I'd probably spend some of it with God. So just spend every day with God all day long. I'm going to talk today on division, and not like division subtraction, but sort of like that, division. The devil's goal is to divide us from God. That is his only goal, because once we're saved, I mean, once we're saved, he can't get us. So he tries to divide us. He divided, you know, in Adam in the garden, Satan divided Adam and Eve from God. I mean, that was what happened. They were with God, and then they sinned, and they were no longer with God, so they were divided. They started to think for themselves, and that's the problem, is when we think for ourselves, we make wrong decisions, and, you know, we hurt people. And it was funny, because David said, well, not funny, but David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. So it's interesting, because, I mean, he totally hurt his best friend, and yet he said he only sinned against God. I mean, he sinned against the guy, but he really sinned against God, because God, each one of us are created in God's image, whether we're saved or whether we're not. Saved just means we're back where we should have been from the beginning. I don't know how many of you guys heard Raul's teaching last week. Man, that was awesome. Man, that reminded me of my dad from like the late 80s. That was some really good stuff. But getting saved just means we're now back where we should have been. We're not in the garden, but, you know, we're headed back that way. So there are lots of things. It's funny that there's lots of biblical and lots of world things about division. You know, like a three-legged stool. You need the three legs to stand. If you take one of the legs away, it falls apart. So dividing, you know, there's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's three. There's, it's always good to have a man and a wife and God. You know, if you just have a man and a wife, there's going to be a lot of strife in there, because God is not your mediator between you two, saying, you know, love your wife no matter if she does silly things, and love your husband whether if he does stupid things, because we husbands do stupid things. So. Let me know if this is, Mary's going to listen to this later, so I don't know. She said to me yesterday, she goes, I was going to Home Depot. She goes, get a rug for the front door, like a wipe your feet on. And I was like, okay. So I was there, and I found one. I liked it. I took a picture. I sent it. And she goes, why are you wasting your time getting a rug? I'm like, wait a minute. You told me to look for a rug. She goes, get home. You got too much stuff to do. I was like, okay. Hallelujah. I'm headed home. So, but we got God, and God says, I love my wife like Christ loved the church, and my wife loves me. So I don't have to worry about her, you know, changing her mind. So doesn't even matter. It's funny. God has a sense of humor. Another one is the three cords. You know, if you put three cords together, it makes it super strong. It can't be broken. So everything, remember that the Satan is the prince of this world, and everything in this world, he designs it to take us from God and to keep us from coming together. Because when we're together, we fellowship, and when we fellowship, we build each other up. And if Satan can bring us into discord, then we're not saying, hey, you know what God taught me this week, or what did God teach you this week? And we're not building each other up. So dividing us from each other and dividing us from God. It was funny, because I saw a meme go by this week, and it said, you know, God, the devil didn't use violence or anything like that to get us from God. He just used deception. It was he just put doubt in our hearts, and then we're like, oh man, what is God? I mean, it's funny. I mean, God's the creator. Why would he hide anything from us? I mean, if he hid it from us, it's because we didn't need to know it. We wouldn't understand it. We wouldn't comprehend it. But we go, oh, he's trying to keep me from something amazing. And it's like, no, God's not trying to keep you from something amazing. He's trying to keep you from hurting yourself. I mean, it's, we as parents are always, we don't, like, I dropped a jar of salsa on the floor today. I'd eaten some sausages, and I picked up the salsa, and it slipped out of my hand because my hands were greasy, and it went all over the floor. Well, Gabby kept trying to come through the kitchen. We're like, no, stay out of the kitchen. She's like, I want to get to the family room. I'm like, no, stay out of the kitchen. There's glass everywhere. She doesn't know why she can't go to the family room. She just has to trust us, but she doesn't. She's still trying to get through to the, and that's us. We're always trying to get to some place and not listening to God. You know, it's like God's saying, hey, there's glass everywhere. Wait for me to clean it up, and then you can come through. So, between the last time I preach and this time I preach, I'm constantly putting things down in my phone. God will give me a word, or I'll hear something, somebody else say something, and I'm like, and that really resonates with me, so I write it down on my phone. These all kind of go together, but it's going to be kind of like all over the place. So the world is always trying to make man into an animal, and the difference is God spoke animals into existence. But God formed man and then breathed into him. So man is not an animal, never was an animal, can't be an animal. It's always funny. They're like, well, the DNA of this frog is, or this pig. And you're like, no, God formed man and then breathed into him. So man can never be an animal. Man is not an animal. So that throws evolution into the toilet. So anybody that says evolution, you go, toilet. It's garbage. That's a division. That's trying to say, I mean, the guy that invented the idea of evolution, it's funny because I got into an argument with one time, and he didn't like people with a lot of melanin in their skin. He goes, oh, some of his best friends were, I said, that doesn't mean he doesn't look down on them. I said, just because your best friend has more melanin than you doesn't mean you don't look down on them. I said, he hated God. We said, well, no, he believed in God. I said, believing in God and hating God are two different things. He hated God. And so he came up with the idea of evolution because he said, this person is more evolved than this person, so I can look down on this person. That's division. You're taking something that God created and is beautiful and saying that I'm better than that. And that's not true because we're all equal. We're all humans. We're all equal. So the devil puts thoughts in people's heads and divides us. You know, it says, oh, that guy's rich. He's got more than you. What does he have more than me? I have salvation. When he dies, we're either going to go to heaven or hell. He doesn't have anything more than me. He may be a little more comfortable here on earth, but I guarantee you that money isn't making him any happier than I am. I'm joyfully happy. So, I mean, happiness is way more important than money. Money, I mean, it was funny because I was thinking, another thing, this world is all designed to keep us from spending time with God. That's why you got to spend time with God all the time, because you have to go to work every day. Why? To pay the bills. And you got to pay the bills so that you can eat and so you can have the lights on and so you can have water. And it just takes up all your time. And so you don't have just leisure time to spend with God. You have to constantly be, yeah. And I would probably waste time. If I had leisurely time, I'd do something dumb with it. But hallelujah. I think it's interesting that that God had so many different festivals in the Bible where they would just spend a week doing nothing but fellowshipping. I'm like, where did that go? Why couldn't we have gotten that part here in the United States? You know, it's like, let's just spend a week fellowshipping. Man, what fun that would be. You know, we're so bound because of circumstance. But hallelujah. But again, you just spend time with God wherever you're at. You know, Paul and Silas spent time, they were worshiping in jail. Along with, man tries to divide us into categories. I kind of got into that. it is interesting that it's weird how they do that. You know, they're like, well, this, you know, they try to divide us into like a big thing right now that's actually dying, and I'll explain this. This is funny. It's dying as the whole vax unvax thing. They're like, well, these people are vaxxed and these people are unvaxxed, so they're bad. And it's like, and they try to divide us, and it's like, no, we're all into freedom. And they're like, no, you're bad because you're trying to hurt us. And it's like, it's not real. It's not a real thing. They just say that to divide us. So you can hate somebody. It's you know, I mean, you can't have a war if you don't hate somebody. If we're all in unity, there's no fighting. You know, this person is this and this person is that, so we got to fight each other. And that again, it distracts us from spending time with God because we're too busy hating the other person instead of thinking, oh, God created that person and they're perfect because God said from the beginning, I knew that you were, you know, I had you in mind from the very beginning. You know, I mean, God knows who's going to be born and what they're going to do and what they're going to look like. He knows their whole life. He still loves them even though he knows in the end they're going to hell. But he still loves them their entire life and he wants to bless them. It's I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 1. This is just going to be quick. Are you guys blessed? You know, it's funny because with all the awfulness that's going on in this world, we're still blessed. It's like, hallelujah. The devil can't do anything that God doesn't let happen. And if he lets it happen, it's because it's going to bless me. If he takes something out of your life and you're like, man, I really like that, God goes, I have something better. So why don't worry about it? Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sothius, our brother, unto the... I'm going to keep skipping on. Let's see. I think... I always love how it's funny. I wrote a letter to Ian one time, and I started it like a letter to Paul. He's like, "Man, that sounded like a letter to Paul." I just think that's fun. I mean, what a way to write. You know, build somebody up, and then get to the meat of what you want to say. But just build them up first. So I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus. So we got grace from Christ Jesus. That's awesome. I need grace. I need it all the time. I don't sin as much as I used to, but I still sin. Man, I need that grace. I don't do the silly sins. I do bad sins now. I don't do silly ones. You know, they're just dumb. It's like, golly, that was dumb. You know, that in everything we are enriched by him and in all utterances and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he wants us to have every gift. That's not my sermon, but that's awesome. You know, we don't probably use a fraction of the gifts that God has us to use because we don't spend enough time talking to him. Hey, what gift do you have for me to use? You know, he's just waiting. He's just waiting just to give us all sorts of stuff, and we're interested in this little nothing. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And here's the verse that I wanted. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye shall speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me... Okay, anyway, so he wants... There was divisions. You know, they're like, well, we're of this guy, and we're of this guy, and we're of this guy. You know, we're Baptists, and we're Methodists, and we're Catholics. It's like, no, we're believers. We're believers. So stop, you know, coming up with new religions. I mean, religions are divisions. It's like, you're not going to be able to do the work of God if you're too worried about, you know, whether you have candles on the stage or not, or whether, you know, you speak in tongues. That's a big one. Like there's a group that my wife goes to, and I don't know if there's so much anymore, but I mean, they wouldn't let her be a leader because she spoke in tongues. I'm like, what in the world? It's in the Bible. Like, well, they don't use it anymore. I'm like, no, it's in the Bible. It's like, how do you not? Who said you don't use it anymore? I mean, it's like the Seventh-day Adventists are a wonderful church. Hopefully my sister doesn't have any Seventh-day Adventist friends. But they're legalistic. And the Church of Christ, they don't have any instruments in the church. I mean, like, where in the Bible does it say not to have instruments? They're like, it doesn't not say not to have instruments, but they don't have any instruments in the New Testament. I'm like, that's a weird way to think. I mean, God created everything. Instruments make beautiful noise, and they help us stay in tune and in time. And it's like, I mean, I know voices are amazing. I mean, when you hear a cappella choirs, it's awesome. But I mean, it's like, and they divide. You know, and they're like, well, we can't hang out with you because you guys use instruments in church. You're like, what a dumb thing to divide over. I mean, it's like, okay, you have your church and you don't have instruments, but do you believe that Jesus Christ came to save and he died and he rose again and now you're going to heaven because you believed in him? That's all that's important. It's not, not, you know, that. Anyway, hallelujah. Woo! So unity is key. So we need to be unified. And the way we unify is we spend time with Christ. And then, and it's like, it's not like we spend time with Christ and then we all read the Bible and we all believe the same thing in the Bible. No, the Holy Spirit is in us. And with the Holy Spirit in us, we'll be unified because he'll be speaking the same thing to me as he's speaking to you, as he's speaking to that person, as he's speaking to that person. And so it doesn't have anything to do with us learning all the same thing or hearing all the same teaching. It has to do with the Holy Spirit. I think we don't realize what the Holy Spirit does, all sorts of crazy things that we're not even aware of because we all see things carnally in the flesh in front of our face. We can't see what's going on in the spirit world. You know, it's amazing when you get a word and then someone says the same word and you're like, wow, you must have the same God I do. So that's unity, you know. But he goes to one church and I go to another church and yet we got the same word. We're not in the same circles. We don't listen to the same anything, you know. But he still had the same word because that's the Holy Spirit. Believing on the Word of God and spending time with God. Man, I already did that. Golly, getting ahead of myself. This is something that I've seen, I guess, over the last 2 years with all the junk. You know, in books and movies, when you get to the end of the book, the bad guy's done, you've defeated him, it's over, and that's great. But in real life, that's not what happens. You defeat the enemy, and the enemy says, oh yeah, you won, and then he comes around from another side. You know, he never gives up. The Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion going to and fro seeking whom he may devour. But the word says to be what? Be sober. Excuse me. Be sober and vigilant. I promise you, I've gone through puberty. I don't know where that cracking in voice came from. Be sober and vigilant. So that means like vigilant means all the time. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be like afraid because that'd be pointless. That'd be, again, we're worried about the devil. You can't worry about, never worry about what the devil is doing. Only look to see what Jesus is doing. If you're always looking at what Jesus is doing, whatever the devil's doing, it doesn't really matter. It's funny because we have all these leaders, and I noticed the other day, I was like, man, they're all so wimpy and weak. Every country, Germany, Canada, Australia, the United States, they're all like... sissies. I'm like, how did these guys get into power? They have, I mean, man, they're not, you know, strong people. Some of them are women. They have no backbone. They all bend over. And the thing is they're all, you know, they're either all into Satan or they're all bought off, you know, because there's no way a human being could allow themselves to be like that. Because God made us, we're made in the image of God. And so, you know, we're to be, you know, mighty men and women. You know, it's like it makes no sense to me. It's like, wow, who owns you? Who owns you? Because it's not God. Because if God owned you, you know, light would be shining out of you. You know, people would see you and go, man, I want what that person's got. And I look at them and go, man, I'm going to want to get as far away from that person as possible. They don't have anything that I would desire. Danny said something the other night. He was talking about prayer, and it's true. And I kind of know this, but I'd never really thought about it. I never put it into words. But my definition of what he said, or my description of what he said, is too often we come to God in prayer because we need something. How often do we come to God just to spend time with Him? And I think that is a problem. We do. I mean, oh God, I have a headache. Oh, this job is falling apart, or this person needs prayer. And it's like, that's awesome. God told us to bring everything to Him in prayer. But we should just be praying just to talk to Him. God, I love You. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for this beautiful earth that you know. What are you up to today, God? He's our best friend. It's crazy because He's a King, He's a God, He's our Savior, but He's also our best friend. And what do you do with your best friend? I mean, you don't ask your best friend for stuff all the time. You go and you just spend time with him or her. You know, you just enjoy their company. So we should come before God just to waste time with Him. I mean, that's how, when you get to know somebody, that's how you know, you're able to learn about them, to understand them, to know them, to, you know. God wants us to know Him so that, you know, we can finish each other's sentences, you know, that kind of thing. That's how close God wants us to be, so that we know His mind. So it's funny because, again, getting back to division, the devil wants us to divide us from God. But how does God love His children? He loves them in their sin just as they are. And so the devil will come to us and say, oh, you sinned. You can't come before God. You're dirty. And God says, come on in. I already knew you were going to sin. Don't worry about it. And that's what's so amazing. And I know, and I can think of that. I can think of times when I was in college and I didn't go to Bible study because I'd sinned or something. I thought, I don't want to be around a bunch of Christians right now. I did wrong. And that's dumb. That's exactly when you need to be around Christians. You know, you need to be fed. You need to be built up. When you sin is when you need God. You know, so don't run from God. You need to be spending more time with God. You sinned because you weren't looking at Him. Yeah, so it's interesting, if there are people that you normally see at church and they're out there, call them and say, why aren't you coming to church? Not to harass them, but is there something wrong? Something going on in your life? Something you did? You know, they're not going to want to tell you. They sin. Nobody wants to reveal their sin. Yeah, I was just debauching myself, you know. Just let you know, that's why I wouldn't come to church. So people aren't going to open up like that. But then again, if you have enough of a relationship with them, they may. I love it when people are real with me and honest. I don't care. I don't care what you did. You know, God, if God loves you, I can love you. If God forgives you, how am I to hold anything against you? If God already forgave you, you're covered in the blood. So, I mean, but by the grace of God go I could do just as evil. But because I've got God in me, I don't do a lot of evil. Still do some. Because He hasn't killed me completely yet. I think I said this earlier, but never meditate on what the devil is doing. Only meditate on what God is doing. It's true. I mean, like, I said this last time I preached, but if you feed your spirit, your spirit is what's going to be talking to you. And if you feed your flesh is what's going to be talking to you. So feed your spirit, and that's by getting in the Word, spending time with God. You're feeding your spirit. So that's the voice that's going to be the loudest in your head. I mean, that's important. Because when it comes to making, you know, if it's quiet, nothing's going wrong, no big deal. But when things come against you, you need the loudest voice to be the Holy Spirit, and not your own flesh or the devil. Or it's a dumb analogy, but it's actually a great analogy. Bankers, when they hire a new teller, they give them a bunch of real money, and they just have to mess with real money all the time. That's all they do is mess with real money. And after time, a banker will slip in a counterfeit. But because all they're doing is touching real money all the time, as soon as they come across a counterfeit, they know. They know immediately, oh, that's a counterfeit. That's not the real deal. It looks real. That's just like the devil. The devil will make something that looks really like God. This looks like God. This is God. But it's not. There's just a little, as my dad would say, there's a little poop on the cookie. I don't know if you guys remember that. That was a good one. You're like, would you eat a cookie? And then he said, and you're thinking, yeah, if it fell on the floor. And he said, they had a little poop on it? And you're like, oh, no, I would not eat that cookie. Not even remotely. So it's just like the devil just puts a little bit on there, but it looks real. It looks like the real thing. But so that's why we got to, if we're always in the Word, when that counterfeit comes through, we see it immediately. Oh, you're deceiving me. You're trying to divide me from whatever. You're dividing me from God or from this person that I need to fellowship with. God told man to have dominion over the earth. He never said have dominion over other men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's a good story because the emperor was trying to tell everybody, hey, you got to worship me. And they said, nope, we're not going to do it. We're only going to worship God. And I don't know what went through their mind. I mean, I thought, well, I guess we're dead. But they said they're only going to worship God, and that's awesome that they were willing to die for it. But in the end, you know, they get thrown in the furnace, and then there's four guys in there, and then the king is like, yeah, I'm an idiot. You guys were right. Your God is... And the funny thing I thought was, is he goes, well, gods. He still wanted to keep his gods, but he added our God to the top of the list. He goes, okay, so your God is here. We'll just keep all other gods down here. But yeah, your God is definitely top. We noticed that. That was pretty obvious. You guys didn't burn up. You didn't even stink. I mean, how do you go through a fire and not stink? Definitely, your God is the top. So they put. It is hard. I mean, it's hard to get rid of your idols. So I mean, if you have idols all your life, so God has to destroy those in your life. So. Also, another one would be, you know, Joseph. His brothers hated him because they weren't listening to God. If they had been listening to God, they would have realized. God's going to use Joseph one day. You know, they just thought him as this jerk kid who's had these horrible dreams about them worshiping him. And that would, you know, I'd probably torque me off too. I'd be like, no, whatever. So I'm not going to say that I would be any different than the brothers. It's funny, you got to put yourself in the bad guy's position in all these stories because that's probably exactly who we'd be. We're rarely ever the hero. We're the bad guy. Unless, you know, until we got God in us and God kills us and we're only doing what he wants to do, wants us to do. And then Moses said, you know, Pharaoh, hey, God wants us to go out and worship him. And Pharaoh's like, yeah, no, it's not going to happen. And so, you know, men are always trying to rule over men. And it's funny, I don't know why. And it's like the Mormon things where they want more than one wife. I'm like, wow, one wife is enough. I don't know why you'd want more than one. That is enough work. So, and I'm sure wives are the same way. I don't know. I would never want two husbands to take care of. So it's like, why do you want to rule over men? I mean, it's too much work. It's like they're always trying to get out of line. They're always trying to get free. You know, it's like, just do your own thing. God, you know, just, I like the way God set things up. It's orderly. He's in control. I mean, that's the way, you know, when my dad passed away, he was the head pastor, and now we don't have a head pastor. We just have a group of pastors, and God is our pastor. And that's the way God wants it. God wants to be the head pastor. He wants to be the king, and then we listen to him. And man, there's so much peace in that, and there's so much, you can just relax. You don't have to carry the burden. when God takes your burden, it's like, wow, you need to just relax because God's taking your burden. That's always funny because I think he gave me his. And it's like, whoa, what's your burden, God? But you know, what he means is he took our burden and we don't have any burden. So, let's see. It's going back to that, talking about, you know, it was funny because people try to justify slavery, and they say, well, you know, the Bible talks about slavery, and it says if you're a slave, you know, blah, blah, blah. The Bible knows that people are evil and that they're going to enslave mankind. The Bible just says, if you're a slave, do right by your master because you don't work for your master, you work for me. So whatever your situation, you're not working for whoever, you know, if this country goes in the toilet and we all become communists and the Communist Party destroys everything, we're still not communists. We're working for God. We're here for God. We're spending time with God. It doesn't matter what our situation is. Every time the Israelites got taken into captivity, the ones that were seeking God always got blessed. So just seek God. And it doesn't matter what's going on. You know, Elijah's in the wilderness and the crows bring him food. So, I mean, if you're seeking God, you don't have to, you know, we don't have to worry about that. So we can always stay united, knowing that God is going to be our champion. I'm not a deep person, and I'm not saying that I don't have depth. I'm just saying I'm very on the surface with what I see. So if somebody says something to me, I don't think, is this person trying to deceive me? I just take it at face value. If you tell me thus and so, until you prove to me multiple times that you're a liar, I'm just going to believe you. So you guys could lie to me very easily if you want to. Because I'm not going to take the time to figure out whether you're a liar or not. Because that's a waste of time. It's like... but that's the problem is, I think as a church, we see things as on the surface. And we don't realize that the devil is constantly using subversion and deception. And he'll say one thing, but he means another thing. So, you know, he'll. I mean, his favorite thing is to, like, he'll make it look Christian, but it's evil. Yeah. I can't think of an example. I know they're out there. I think, again, because I'm just on the surface, and if it's trash, I just throw it out. I don't keep it in my brain. That's what you guys should do. Don't keep trash in your brain because it just takes up room. But it's precious the older you get. I had a theory one day that came into my mind that said people aren't more forgetful when they get older. They just have more stuff in there to go through. And they did a study in England, and they said, people aren't more forgetful when they get older. They just have more stuff to go through. And I was like, hey, my theory was correct. So as you get older and you get more forgetful, it's not because you're forgetful. You just have more in your hard drive, and you got to find where you hit it. And you may have an older hard drive, and it's a little slower. Jesus is always able to see through the deception. It's because he's always in communion with the Father. That's so when he was on the earth, you know, and the devil came up to him, and he, what do you do? Every time he used scripture, the devil would say, hey, well, you know, turn this bread, the stones into bread, you know, and he would just spit scripture back at the devil because that's our foundation. You can't divide us from the Father if we have the Father's word in us. You can't trick us. You can't get us to eat the apple again. Because we had the Word in us. So spend your time in the Word. And, you know, that way, every time the devil comes to the deception, you see it immediately. You know, you see that counterfeit bill. Oh, I've been handling the real stuff for so long, you're not going to deceive me anymore. You know, going back to that, spending time with God, it's good to just spend time with God and have no agenda. I think because we're so short on time, because we have so much to do in life, we always have an agenda. God, can you take care of this, this, and this, and this? All right, I'm going to go on my way. But yeah, we should just have no agenda with God, just spending time with him. Which I can't say that I do a whole lot. I mean, I do, but I don't. You know, it's funny because I judge myself and I go, well, yeah, I can't judge myself. Only God can judge me. God, do I? The time we spend together, is it precious? You know, that's for him to judge. It's not for me. So don't ever let the devil guilt you into thinking that, you know, you're not doing God's will. Because sometimes you have no idea. I mean, it's like, I brought this up before, but I met my wife because I was a procrastinator. Is it good to be a procrastinator? It's not good to be a procrastinator. I mean, I don't think it's good. I mean, the world tells me it's not good to be a procrastinator. But God used my procrastination, and I met the most precious woman I was ever going to meet, my wife, because I was being lazy and a procrastinator. You know, it's like, and I could tell you there's so many things. There's people that I met that I never would have met had I not been a procrastinator. You know, if I had gotten to work at 8:30 in the morning when I should have been there instead of 10:30, I wouldn't have met that guy in the supply house because I wouldn't have been there. And then he and I are lifelong friends because I'm a procrastinator. So God uses your human faults. You know, God already knows your strengths and your weaknesses, and he just pushes you around using them. You know, so if God's ready for you not to be a procrastinator, he'll just take it from you and it'll be gone and you won't do it anymore. So, but again, he created you. He knows who you are. He knows your heart. He knows your everything. So we should all be in one accord. And that's not a Honda. Those things are small. We couldn't all fit in there.